I'm Tim Brody, and you're listening to Moving Forward, a podcast about relationships, community, and connections. This show features Rakesh Mishra, the self-proclaimed slumdog billionaire. Rakesh was born and raised in a poor village in India. He had big dreams, though, and sought to fulfill them. He first moved to the United States and then to Canada, where, after deep consideration and gratitude for the gifts that he was seeing, he decided to become independently wealthy. And he did. However, at the pinnacle of his financial achievement, he lost his wife during childbirth, and the reality, the enormity of the lesson hit him squarely in his soul. The true joy in life isn't a monetary one. It's about the relationships we build and the love that fills our daily existence. His story of loss, discovery, and service needs to be heard. Rakesh, it's so wonderful for you to be here today with me. I really appreciate everything that you've done, and I appreciate your story that we posted on Mo Mondays. You came from India. You had some humble beginnings, and I wonder what life was like in India, and what do you miss?
India life was very different, very organic. You know, growing up in India without any electricity, without any telephone, television, automobiles, you know, so it's very different. We don't have 24-hour electricity and water supply in the villages I grew. As they say that when you have nothing, anything is possible. So for me, I was just stretching myself, you know, to move from that village to the city and see all these possibilities. That helped me to move to Canada. So I did not take things for granted here in Canada. This corona has given little sense now. You know, don't take things for granted. Today you are not even mobile. So sometimes we have these kind of the restrictions. In India, 30 to 40% Indians, they are quite poor. And that is a big number. Out of 1,400 million Indian and 40% is quite a big number. So what happened? People, they died there without food. In North America, people, they died with excess of food because of the obesity and other chronic problem because of this overeating. So what I miss coming here, I miss that community, that belonging. Back home in the villages, when we grew, we don't just only respect our parents, we respect our neighbors. We live in the system that, hey, don't misbehave, otherwise uncle, who are not direct relative, he will say, oh, this is his son and doing this bad thing. So we miss that. There, the social membrane is being knitted in very close connectivity way. So we miss that kind of helping people or getting help without any expectations.
I remember my first time in the military when I got posted outside of the country. I didn't realize how wonderful it was here until I got arm's length away. And then I started to see some of the blemishes. And one of the things that you're alluding to is the notion that I started to see with our own children that each one of our kids had to have their own separate bedroom. They each had to have the most that we could provide for them. Whereas when I went to Syria, grandparents were not only revered, they were necessary. It was part of the family structure. It was much tighter there.
When I was in my 20s, and people living the same house for 100 years, the same couch being used for six generations. What we do, we just change the cover. From leather to the fabric to back to leather, or maybe some wooden piece, some steel piece, something broken. Same thing is being fixed. People start earning good money. Now they can afford to replace, but then there is emotional attachment. Oh, this belongs to my grandpa. Not only their grandpa. So their basically whole generation's stories are attached to that wooden piece.
So it's that notion about knowing your stories and knowing where you come from and having a connection that goes back.
Very much. And they preserve, they document those stories through those articles. It can be a sofa. It can be a bicycle. It can be a cane from great-great-great-great-grandpa, because there was no video, audio, those equipments to document, your generation's history. So that's how sometimes, so those things sometimes you say, these are the only you can feel it. Probably you cannot express as many things in life. They are not that tangible. people only you can feel it, but that gives very different kind of satisfaction, you know. So yeah, so those things. No matter which country you come from to this country, many people, they still hold the baggage and they still appreciate their birth country. It's all good. But it's our moral duty about this country. We adopted this country. Our next generation are most probably going to live in this country. So it should be our own duty to love this country same way you loved your back home. So sometimes I feel this is a little missing, and I'm trying to promote this is your adopted place, and do whatever you can to make this place even the better place, whatever the contribution you can do about this land.
Prakash, I think as a new Canadian, you express something that people who were born in this country and have multiple generations that go back into this country perhaps might have lost. The notion of what it means to be Canadian can oftentimes be better learned by people that are new at it. Yeah, so what do you think it means to be Canadian?
Oh, we come from India. India was ruled by British. Indians or other countries are coming to this country. This country welcomed them open hearts because such a cosmopolitan. So here you come here, like, you know, you don't feel only probably the skin wise, you can see somebody white, somebody black, somebody brown, somebody yellow. But in terms of, you know, the living, same person goes to the no frills, same person go to the Loblaws, same person go to Banana Republic, same person go to, you know, just 50, 60 years back, you know, like this, because of the skin difference, they were not allowed to even go into those restaurants or ride a bus. You know, I'm talking about the slavery and the blacks and all those things. But this place now, in certain way, you are discriminated more in your country of birth based on the language and the skin. Because in India also, we have south more little dark skin, north is a white skin. So based on the language you speak, based on the skin color, you are discriminated. For instance, Hindi is a national language of India. And if I go to south, the person probably understand and can speak, but he will not speak in Hindi. He will try to speak in own regional language. So you will be discriminated. But when I came to this country, so being Canadian means to me one planet, one family kind of theme. That there is a saying, two phrase in Sanskrit in India, my grandfather used to recite, Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. The English translation, the literal translation is, the world is one family. So Canada manifests that phrase that, you know, we are one family. Wherever you are, doesn't matter. Come here, bring your values, bring your culture. We have no problem, but respect our culture too, and let's live together as one family. Being Canadian is a global country. When I go to Mexico sometime and I find Americans, they use a Canadian t-shirt to roam around to that provide them the safety, because Canadians are welcome anyway. I think maybe a little too much I'm saying here.
I recall being in Israel, the maple leaf was the most coveted pin. Yeah, I think you're onto something. Prakash, I think that your vision is wonderful, and it's obvious to me that you had wonderful parents. I learned from one of my North Stars, Viktor Frankl, who survived the concentration camps. And after the concentration camps, came up with the saying, the angels are lost in perpetual contemplation of an infinite glory. And what that meant was that he learned in the concentration camps the power of love. He's one of my North Stars when difficult times face me. And I'm wondering, based on the great value system that you have, who are your North Stars?
Yeah, so you mentioned Viktor Frankl. I read his book, and, you know, I totally admired this guy. You know, he's all about bigger purpose, you know, in life. People like Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa, Gandhi. You know, in whole life, you are in one of these states. Either you are surviving, or you are successful, or you are living your significance life. So developing country like India, mostly people, they're born and they die in the survival mode, in the basic needs, food, shelter, and probably children education and their marriages, and you know, hold their life, just finish completing these things. Country like Canada, the day you land, your survival things are being taken care of. Being a developed country, even if you work minimum wages, you still you can manage your food, your transportation, and your shelter. The second stage comes success. Success, everybody's definition is different. Somebody's a big house, big car, and children and good education, and having annual vacation might be the success. But again, in the survival and the success, you are focusing for yourself or your family. Significance comes, Tim, when you start living for others. And in my view, you know, the whole purpose about whole life, whatever you do, one keyword, happiness. And happiness you will never achieve till you start helping others. As Zig Ziglar, in a way, this is my North Star, you can say, you know, the one of the saying I love, that whatever you want in your life, you will get it if you just help enough number of people what they want in their life. So this was my dream. Can I make any difference? Can I live a significant life, which was not possible probably in India when I came to Canada? This country gave me survival. The day I land, I became a landed immigrant. And soon I started working for my success. And when I retired, as my plan on my 45th birthday, why I wanted to retire, not to have a beer and chicken wings and lie down on the sofa. No, can I give hope to others? Can I help others to find their purpose bigger than their life, bigger than the car, bigger than the house, bigger than the food, bigger than the bank balance? And that helped me. So that's how I am reaching out to the people. So again, I come back. These are my North Star, Nelson Mandela, and Martin Luther King, and Mother Teresa, because they have gone to those adversities, but you see, they have not gave up. Because, as the Viktor Frankl said, their purpose was the interest of others, not herself or himself. So when you have that purpose bigger than yours, every adversity kind of becomes a catalyst in your life to play even a bigger games.
I think that's a wonderful message, and I think you've got great North Stars. Let's talk about one other North Star. You were married to a wonderful woman. In your Monday's experience, you shared with us the tragedy when you had reached the pinnacle of financial success, you lost your wife. I'm wondering, how did that woman who was born, lived, loved you, and then died, how did that experience make you a better man, a better husband, a better father?
When she passed away, and then the next day, what happened, you know, the hospital, they sent some people to counsel you, and so I denied. So as usual, I took out my diary, pad and pen. And I wrote, this is the first time I'm sharing, by the way, with somebody. I wrote down that I heard this phrase that whatever happens in life happens, there is a reason for it. So I thought, I took out the pad and pen and started writing, what is good in it? So rather, of course, you know, I was mourning and everything, but I was looking about the possibilities that what is good in it? And I wrote around 27 points. And out of the 27 points, I think 20 points came about others, because this situation will help me to grow me so that I can be, in use of others, to uplift others, to help others from that point of view, because I got a bigger purpose. So she leaving me gave me the bigger purpose. That is one thing. The second thing after she gone, when I started kind of raising my two kids, I'm kind of giving a mom's and, you know, the dad both love. And I thought, you know, I'll manage and, you know, no need to get married and all again. So one day when after around 3.5 years, when my elder son becomes 7 years old and he brings the Mother's Day card, which reads, Papa, we love you. Can you bring a mother?
So I said, how to talk with the 7-year-old? Let's see why he's asking that. What I'm not giving you, why you need mother?
Now listen, Tim. The 7-year-old, he says, Papa, when I see you in the kitchen, you work. Sometimes things fall and you are struggling. And I feel very bad that you are doing for us, but you are struggling and we care for you. You know, these are, I'm kind of little paraphrasing the wording. That's how the sense he gave that it's not only for me, Papa. We love you that you love us, but at the same time, you also need mommy. You also need your wife.
My son gave me another purpose. No, Rakesh. Listen to him, what he's saying. He will get mother, he's selfish. But the thing about what he's saying about you. Tomorrow kids will become grown. They have their marriage. What about you? You are not going to be young the same always. You will also get older. You need some company.
See, when my first wife, when she gone, she gave me another woman to experience in my life. Emotions which I have never experienced. Life, Tim, is all about experiences, not about the materialistic possession. Today you have a car and sofa and a house and money. Of course, it's important, but it's all about experiences. She gave me that richness. Tim, you get this chance to ask this question so that I can express because of my wife passing. So she gave me that experience. So she made me a good human being. She gave me the purpose. She made me a stronger. She helped me go leaving her life to understand the family, the kids, other people's more. Now when my second wife came, because of the learning, because of the atmosphere she created, I was dying to get the same experience again in home. And for that, I said, I will get back that same experience. And I learned two words, expectation and comparison. So I work on my expectation. I will not have any expectation. Rather, I will be providing to her, to my family. I will not compare with any other woman or any other family. No. You know, when we got married, she's a very caring woman. When she came to know my story, I told her this is a situation, and for her, it was a first marriage. She said, the only one condition we'll marry that we will not have kids from our marriage. Because I want to raise those kids, I cannot replace the own mother title with the stepmother, but I want to provide everything. But when she came, and she was so giving, she's still so giving. So I thought, my dear, it looks like it will not be justice with you as a woman. You will be incomplete. Will you allow me? Try maybe have one more. So that's the conversation I had with her. She said, okay. So like that, because I was thinking I'm being very selfish. So now we had the third son from her. And anything can happen tomorrow, we don't know. But at least I am kind of... So why I'm explaining this a little broader? Because, you know, just to give that experience, this all richness in experience happened because of the passing of my first wife. So she made me rich. She made me good father. She made me the husband of two beautiful women.
I think those two women are incredibly lucky, and I think you're incredibly lucky.
Thank you.
Tell me what the billion stands for. You talked about the movie Slumdog Millionaire, but you said you're the Slumdog Billionaire. What's the billion all about?
I love telling the story. So when I came to Canada, the only thing I wanted to do, because, you know, when I came, within the week, I realized that, hey, basic things are been taken care of. And with the hard work and the sincerity and the care and the way India has built me because of the hardship and those adversities, this is heaven. So I'm going to be successful, guaranteed. What else, you know, I can do? So then I started, you know, watching these movies and mingling with the Canadians. And I realized they love stories. And I said, you know, I have those rich stories. And what prompted me to have this thinking, because, you know, it was Slumdog Millionaire movie released in 2008 and it won 8 Oscars. And I went to watch that movie. Why this movie won 8 Oscars? In the Indian background, only 2 movies ever have won the Oscars. The one movie was Gandhi, made in 1982.
by British director Attenborough. And this is the second movie, again made in the Indian background, and won the same number of Oscars, and that is Slumdog Millionaire, again by British director David Boyle. So when I watched that movie, I said, oh my God, I have lived that life around 70 to 80%, and I will love to tell those stories. So that movie gave me that twist and basically that inspiration to share. And then, Tim, my problem was, how to share? I cannot share in Hindi. I can share in the Indian audience, but I wanted to share here, so I need to share in English. So my problem is the language, and my problem is the shyness to, you know, the scare to speak publicly. Try to focus on the solution side of the life, not the problem side. Problem will never go away. So I said, what is the solution? How to improve language and how to improve public speaking fear? So as they say, when the student is ready, teacher will appear. So one day working in the Ministry of Transportation as an IT consultant, I saw this board say, we build a leader, something like that. And that was a Toastmaster. I walked in and I became the member and the rest of the story. And that Toastmaster gave me the voice and the courage to speak publicly. And I started sharing my stories. Some people, they set very low goal and they hit them and they become depressed. So have your life goal so big that you should not able to finish by your lifetime. So whole life will go in the full enthusiasm and full curiosity and full creativity and full craziness. So I decided to become a billionaire, to reach out to billion people before my last breath. So that's how the billion world, the origin come from, Tim.
I enjoy that story, and I think that I've heard you relate it in a different way as well. I think that I heard you once say that what you were hoping for was that when you finally breathed your last, there would be a billion people with red eyes.
When this billion journey ends, billion eyes cries.
I think that's a great way to live your life.
No matter who you are, the whole purpose of life is live worry-free and leave regret-free.
That's a great motto to live by. Rakesh, thanks so much for being here.
Anytime.
You've been listening to Tim Brody and the show Moving Forward, an offering in relationships, community, and connections. We are proud to support the Society of Atlantic Heroes, the group caring about first responders, veterans, and military members in Canada's Atlantic region. It's about our community, and our community is about us. Thanks for listening.